start with Kuf Shabi Beis. The tour writes, Feinreich, read, please. Okay, so like every situation where a woman bleeds or might bleed or might have bled, the day she bleeds doesn't count towards the Shiva Nikiyam. So she counts from the day afterwards. And even though she didn't find any blood Bishas Tviya, nonetheless, she is still Tamea because we're afraid that maybe there was a tiny amount of blood. This is a rejection of the Shita of the Rav Yah. The Beis Yosef quotes, the Rav Yah claims that if a woman was doing Bedika at the time of the Tviya, she did Bedika and she found nothing. So the Rav Yah said that she's Tahora and there is no din of Dam Chimud. If one wants to bring, can you bring a raya from the Gemara against the Rav Yah? I think you can. The Beis Yosef just dismisses it because he says nobody holds that way. Yes. Where are you pointing to?
It's
earlier.
Yeah. He sort of hints to it before here.
I need a better raya than that. Yitzi?
Give the Girsav the rush when they make her wait. So for that, presumably she did a Bedika right away. Doesn't say that she saw anything.
So, No. Better. What was the Gemara's kasha on Rav and Rav Nachman? How could they do that? Why didn't you see? And the Gemara should have had a ready-made ukimta. Rather than saying that shluchai have a mishadre, or saying that yuchudei have a miyachde, whatever that means, the Gemara could have said it's a case where they did bedika. That would have solved the problem. Yeah, it's a better raya than just mistama, but actually. Okay. Anyway, go ahead. Okay, so the Rush quotes those who say that you require no hafsek tara, no bedika. Who are these gedolim? The Rashba. Does the Rush know the Rashba stuff? The answer is yes.
Didn't they communicate?
The Rashba. Yeah, Rush, remember, fled from
Germany
to Spain. I believe he was in Barcelona. And he does quote the Rashba by name a few places in the Rush.
Are you sure that's the same Rashba? Not Rashba quoted by this one? I don't know.
Yes. it's not that I have learned all the Rush, or even most of the Rush, or enough to make that Hashara, but when I was looking into this a year or two ago, so I went a little digging, and others, I think, dig up the reference. There are some references to the Rashba here. So it is possible. It is possible that he's referring to the Rashba. I think there are times, I get the sense, my recollection is, from that, when I was doing that research, is that there are times he doesn't quote the Rashba by name, but he certainly seems to be quoting the Rashba's position. So here,
if he's in Spain, even if he doesn't know it's the Rashba.
Right, but what I'm telling you is that I believe, unless my memory is mistaken about this, he knows the Rashba, and he knows at least some of his shitos. I don't know if he knows all of his works and so on. And thus, you're right. It's true he could know of things that might have been the positions, not only the Rashba and others, but it may very well be he sees this farm of the Rashba.
Also, I think him not quoting the Rashba so often, I think that once he was in Spain, he was trying to keep Torah, like bring Torah's Germany to Spain.
Couldn't he have kept the Rabbeinu Tam Shita between milk and meat?
That he quotes Spanish Rishonim like less once he goes there.
I don't know. Do you know that, or you're...
I think I remember hearing that in either my father and mother.
Yeah, I was going to...
But I'm not totally sure. I might be changing something to the details.
I was going to say, in an academic Bogle class, we had one of the essay assignments was on the Rosh. And I think we have letters where between the Rosh were communicated to each other.
That could be. Could very well be. It would make sense to me. It would make perfect sense to me, but I don't, my expertise is, my academic expertise is more limited to Talmudic literature.
They overlapped
for 7 years, so okay. Was the Rush in Barcelona? Or just in Spain?
Toledo.
That's not
too
far away.
Okay. Fine. Anyway... that's Toltila, I think, right? That's how they write Toledo? Toltila, I think? Okay. Anyway, so, fine. So that would be the Rashba's position. So we spoke about this yesterday. Why would the Rashba say there's no requirement for Hefsek Tara or Bedikos? For the very same reason that the other Rishonim would say there's no requirement of Hefsek Tara. Which is the Gemara and Daf Samach Vav Amud Aleph seems to make it impossible, or sort of impossible, for the girl to have done Hefsek Tara or Bedikos because she and her father didn't know that she needed Shiva Nikim. So the Rush, we mentioned, the Rush says that there's a different gear than Sefer Ashkenaz, where whoever pushed off the wedding, whether it was the father of the bride or the father of the groom, at the time the issue was discussed, and one party made clear to the other that it was because of Dam Chimud, which means that the other party knew, both parties knew, once that waiting period began, that there was an issue of Dam Chimud, and therefore it's perfectly possible that she did Hefsek Tara and Bedikos. But the Rashba's challenge is, then how do you know that she didn't do Hefsek Tara? So just a svara that the Rash has, a svara is that Mistama, if she can't even find the blood, that whatever bleeding there was, the blood that she can't find stopped coming, that very moment in that day, and therefore you don't need a Hefsek Tara, because the purpose of the Hefsek Tara is only to establish that she's actually not bleeding anymore. Okay? Fine. Slow down. Chen Kasav HaRamban. So, the Beis Yosef points out here that this is not exactly true. And we discussed this a little bit yesterday. It becomes clearer in the Mechaber and Ramah. There is a basic machlokas, Chachmei Sfarad and Chachmei Ashkenaz almost, in terms of the nature of Dam Chimud. The Rashba and the Ramban understand that Dam Chimud is a product of a sudden rush. When that rush is joined with anticipation. In other words, Tavua Linase, 12 months before the wedding, doesn't create a sudden rush because it's 12 months away. Tavua Linase, within a relatively short distance of the wedding, or beginning the wedding preparations, within a short distance of the wedding, a month and a half before, whatever, when they start to make the barley, whatever it is they're making, that creates a rush of excitement. And because it's an anticipation of something fairly close, that is what creates Dam Chimud. But it's a particularly intense moment. But once you get past that, the anticipation is there, but we're not concerned about Dam Chimud. The rush, however, I think it was the Rashbam Shita, actually, that he's quoting. The rush says, no, that the closer you get to the chuppah, in theory, the greater the concern about Dam Chimud should be. She's getting more and more and more excited. If for that very reason, the Beis Yosef points out that according to the Rush, l'chatchila, you have to do a bedik every day. And really, the later you go in the Shiva Nikim, and even after the Shiva Nikim, let's say they don't get married the night after. Let's say they get married 5 days later, 7 days later, 11 days later, you should keep doing bedikos. Why? Because the closer you get to the wedding, the closer you get to the wedding,
more likely she is to bleed.
More likely she is to bleed.
So then every single
there's a minhag that some people have. It's not a real minhag. Which is the chas and the kal don't see each other the week before the wedding. As far as I know, I'm sure somebody in this forum now has come up with some justification for it, because you wait long enough and somebody will. But I always thought that it made absolutely no sense. And somebody, forget the minhag, somebody suggested to me, oh, it's a concern of Dam Chimud. So I said to the person, I don't understand, Adarabba. The chassan hasn't seen the kal in 7 days. So all of a sudden, the kal sees the chassan, her knight in shiny armor. She's going to be overwhelmed with emotion. More likely to have dam chimud.
We're not actually concerned about dam chimud.
We are. We are in the situations where dam chimud is applicable. So, anything, and even, the truth is, even according to the, so you could say, it might, I realize that, it might make a little more sense according to the Rush, but even according to the Rush, I'm not sure. The Rush would say, the closer you get, the more there is, so the less the Kala sees the Chassan, the less likely there is to be Dam Chimud. Some of the reason for it is that the Chassan and the Kala are both on, you know, on Shpilkas, the week before the wedding, and if they're around each other, they're more likely to be fighting. So, another time I'll tell you a personal story, I know about this. But anyway, so there is no such, as far as I'm concerned, there's no basis for the minhag. If the chas and the kal are going to fight with each other, then it's a good idea for them not to spend so much time around the week before the wedding. If the chas and the kal really want to see each other the week before the wedding, then the chas and the kal can see each other the week before the wedding. Yossi?
According to the Rush, why does it matter if they if they start the wedding preparations? Why should it? In every single wedding, the woman personally knows when she's getting married. So 7 days before, she should start having to be concerned for Dam Chimud. I mean, if the story is that as she gets closer and closer to the wedding, she gets more and more excited. So
on some level, the Rush has to believe that when there is a certain point in time, which is a little exciting point, and there's a chashash of Dam Chimud then, but the chashash continues that it could still come as you get closer to the wedding.
So it has to be kind of triggered by
There's a point that it has to be a trigger point.
Right. And then only once you have that.
And the trigger point says we are in proximity to the wedding. Proximity might be a month, it might be 2 months. It's not 12 months, as the Rosh Hashanah says.
And that would, okay, so that means according to the Rosh, really, there's always something, I feel like, which kind of lets her know that the wedding is going to be, very, very soon. They start preparing, you'll always have this
Right? The Rush, it's always going to be a concern. The truth is, for the way we plan weddings, and I don't know, if 2 months in advance, it seems to me for the Rush, but shayach to have dam chimud. And if that is in fact the case, in the context in which we live, when weddings tend to be planned long enough in advance, even if not a year in advance, but you know, you don't just, it's not like you had Kiddushin and then you say, you know what, let's have the Nisuin and maybe it's a week or two passes, but rather where you need at least a few months of lead time. So it's inevitable that in the interim, the woman is going to get her period, in which case she's going to be counting a real Hefsek Tara and doing a real Hefsek Tara and counting a real Shiva Nikim, rendering the discussion more or less moot according to the Rashba. According to the Rush, it's a separate issue, because he would say that even after she goes to the mikveh, unless she goes to the mikveh a week before a wedding, and that's what the Rambam is going to discuss. So then this, even though she's gone to the mikveh, she's tahoro, she's finished Shiva Nikim, there's still a concern that maybe she's going to have Dam Chimud, because as the wedding gets closer, there's a greater likelihood. But for the Rashba, it's almost totally immaterial to our context. And so even for the Rush, we'll see, but really, Medina, we don't really paskin that way. The Rama has a Chomra that dubidikos under certain circumstances. So it's not really such an issue. Yosef?
It was suggested earlier we were talking about Dam Chimud, that maybe Dam Chimud, the idea was based off of the fact that that's just what happens with male biology, so we assume it happens with female biology.
We didn't say that here. I have always thought, where did you hear that?
You said that in the past.
I don't remember saying it in Shear this year, but it's something that I know has occurred to me in the past. Yes, there's an assumption if the dam is like the Isha Zera, so it follows a parallel process. Thank you for reminding me.
That,
yes.
The idea that we're not really aware that Dam Bohemond exists other than these Gemaras, so we just...
That's why I'm just trying to understand. If the Rishonim know, you can't. It's almost impossible to find. Right, there is. We did discuss. I know what we discussed. There is an issue, and that's not certainly not derivative of male biology. So there is this suggestion that somehow severe emotional distress in a moment can bring on a period, which is not.
It's not the other way that.
I know you. Haradam is alekas esadamim. There's a difference between a sudden shock and a low-level anxiety.
No, is that not saying that we weren't not saying that her anxiety, like between that we don't call it PMS or something like that, you're saying that the fact that she's somehow caused her period. I always thought it was the other way, that like the reason one of adding to her distress is the fact that she had her period at that moment.
I think they usually understand that is that Batis Chalchal HaMalkomodo is a response to hearing the news.
I'm not saying biological. I thought the connection was certainly it's a reaction to hearing the news.
It can't be, because the rest of the Gemara then suggests that it was that she defecated.
Uh-huh. That would have
parallel wouldn't work.
What's that?
It says, Kalu may Maya.
Hold on, I gotta find.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's it.
My batis chalchal amar Rav shepir sanida. Rav Yirmi amar shehutzrachal lin kaveha. Which certainly sounds more like, well, like I'm suggesting, I think. Right? Mashi writes Batis Chalchal Nismas Meis Chala Gufa. She like turned into jelly or something like that. I assume that was a byproduct, not an added irritant. Okay, so where are you going with this?
Well, that's same thing. Yeah, so if that was true, I was trying to understand the rush. I remember you said that before earlier in the year. I think you must have said it because I wouldn't know what it was. Yeah, it seemed like what the rush was describing is perhaps more parallel to male biology working. That he seems more like he's not describing a sudden rush of emotion and call it hormones as much as he's sort of just describing arousal in a way that like want to be more aroused as time goes on, and that would be like that's very fundamentally different than sort of like a rush of emotion that would.
No, I agree. I think you're correct. In other words, to the rush boy, it's a sudden jolt. For the rush, it's building. Yeah, so that's what, I think it sounds a lot like that, and if you think that you think to the medieval theory, and I don't know what the ancients necessarily thought, the medieval theory the Ramban is embracing about, the man's zera is the white stuff and the woman's zera is the blood, and that's why Dam Nida is so bad, because it's mazik in terms of the Yetzirah Havlad, so it does sound like that. Yuri?
Rosh, how is there ever a time that they can get married? As it approaches closer, she gets more and more excited, and she's more likely to leave.
So you have to be doing bidikos, that's all. So even the rush obviously agrees to the Rav Yoz's point that if you're doing bidikos, then you're okay. Just not in the initial phase. Okay. Fine. Continue, my neich.
Because of Harash, Lushitva Linase.
Sare be'asinta. What is v'chi rami sare be'asinta?
Barley in the mill.
Yeah, they put the barley into whatever, probably they're making the beer in or something like that. Okay. Because presumably they were drinking Budweiser all night of the wedding. Okay. Fine. What? I mean, you know that I'm in favor of women studying Torah becoming Talmud Chacham, but nonetheless. No, not Yashna. Yes. As a Yashan and a Yashin are not the same thing, and a Zakan and a Zakain are not the same thing.
Yashana is just the past tense, or the perfect for Yashina.
What?
It's not so bad. Yashina is just she slept, as opposed to she is sleeping. Yashana would be old.
Continue. So this is a very, firstly, the correct nusach is the Rambam, not the Ramban. I know your nusach probably says Ramban, but the correct version is the Rambam. And the so the din here goes back to a Gemara in Ksubos. The Gemara in Ksubos says that if a chasan lekala or nichnasu lechupa and the kala is pirsanida, let's assume for the moment before they've had bia rishona. So they are not allowed to have yichud. Like a chupas nida, for all intents and purposes. Once they've had bia one time, the assumption is that yetzer hara has been at least a little bit subdued, and there is no longer isur yichud with an adam and ishto and ba and ishto nida. How do we know that that's the case? There's no isur yichud.
Practically impossible.
Yeah. You can put that in the category of. I mean, it's a kasha. If yichud is only drabbanon, we'd understand. But for those Yerushalmim who say that yichud is daraisa, and it might be daraisa with a nida as well, if you're not married to her, how can it be mutter with ishto nida? Well, because you're gonna, you know, the answer because you can overcome your yitzhar, we let you get away with it. So the answer to the question is, well, that's like a mialedes being nemenes, on who the vlad is. In other words, what the Vlad is, why? Yaladis shouldn't have any nemonus. The answer is the Gemara Kedushin, right? That Gimel Nemonim, ala Vlad. The Chaya is nemenis la'alta, the mother's nemenis, I think, for 7 days, and the father's always nemon. So why is the Chaya nemenis? The answer is because there's no other way. That's why. The Ran writes something like that. Sometimes things are the way they are because they have to be that way. So they cannot be. The Gemara in Sanhedrin quotes a drasha, Sugah b'Shoshanim, but that can't be the real, on some level it's hard to understand this, the real makar, because after all, does that mean that someone, there's no Isser of Yichud with Anida who's not your wife? In other words, of course there's an Isser Yichud. And it's only because of Xeras David Yichud Pinuya? No. Presume. I would presume that those who hold that yichud with an erev is daraisa hold yichud with someone who's not a nida, who's not one's wife, I presume should also be in a nisa daraisa. You could say as far as otherwise, but Yudi?
Wasn't it that in the times of the Gemara they would like prepare for the wedding the week of? Isn't there like a Gemara in Ketubot that says that's the reason you can't get married on Sunday because we're afraid you're going to prepare on Shabbat for it?
Okay, therefore?
So then according to the Rashba, if it's all about the preparation, then how would that fit?
What Rashba?
What do we just quote?
The Vikat of our Rashba. Meaning it's all about the preparation. If you're preparing for the Chava,
no.
It's
well, are you going back to a previous thing?
No, I don't. Like a few lines.
No, Mechira Misari Basinta is not 7 days. Most of the stuff you have to do that week. But the beer can't make that week.
Okay. So
right. The meal stuff has to be done within a few days, because otherwise it will spoil. But the other stuff... Okay, so coming back to our thing. So there's an Isser of... there is an Isser of Yichud if they haven't had beer yet. Okay? So that's what the Gemara in Ksubas in the first parak says, Daf Gimel. Or Daf Dalet. So the Tur says the same thing applies by Dam Chimur. Then he quotes the Rambam, who says that if he's a Talmud Chacham, then it's Mutar Lakon Samiyad, and there's no Isser of Yichud. Because he knows that it's also Lavo Alaham. So the question is, and this is the way the Magid Mishnah and the Ravid understood the Rambam, and they were not very happy with the Rambam. So first, the Beis Yosef tries to explain how it's possible that you might read the Rambam as saying that. Why would it even make sense? If it's a question of Talmud Chacham, no, so explain to the Amoritz that it's also to have beer. Right, so the answer is the Amoritz doesn't really understand. If he doesn't really understand, he's not going to listen. But ultimately, he doesn't understand how the Rambam can make such a distinction. If the Gemara doesn't distinguish by Pirsa Ishtonida, the Kala, between Talmud Chacham and a non-Talmud Chacham, why should it be any different here? Now the truth is, he already gave the Teretz for that, but he explains why the Teretz isn't the Teretz. So he ultimately thinks the Rambam means something totally different. He thinks that the Rambam means not that there's a heter of Yichud for a Talmud Chacham, but rather, if you want to have a chuppah without having yichud, so normally we don't allow chuppah for a nida. Why?
According to the Rambam or
the Rambam.
Okay.
So why don't we allow it? So the Beis Yosef here is almost suggesting we don't allow it because, or at least by Dam Chima, we don't allow it because we're afraid that even though there's no yichud, people will, you know, find accidentally or intentionally find ways around it. But a Talmud Chacham is not going to do that. In other words, hu yashen ben anashim, v'hi yashen ben anashim. It's true, but you know, sometimes the mishamshim are not there for a short time, and maybe the husband and the wife will find themselves alone, even though they're not supposed to, and they'll do what they're not supposed to do. So that's shayach. That concern, which is just a chashash. That's only, the concern is only by, not by a Talmud Chacham. By a Talmud Chacham were not concerns. Now he doesn't take that as far as, what about a regular chuppah snida, because the Rambam holds a regular chuppah snida you can't do. It would seem even for a Talmud Chacham. But it means, chuppah snida of dam chimud, which is in Zohar, so that a Talmud Chacham can act, not that he can have yichud, but he actually can have the chuppah. Okay? Yes, Moshe?
What about a case where they don't have bia the night of the chuppah? Therefore, there could be a chuppah that's not a chuppah snida, and then the day afterwards they could have this problem.
Did you see the Truma Sadashan?
Not yet.
The Beis Yosef at the end quotes it, and Mechaber quotes it, I think, in Sif Dalid. Hey, it's quoted. I don't know why there's no letter in my Beis Yosef here, unless this is all...
It's all valid.
It's all valid, okay. Fine. Yosef, is that your answer? Was that your question?
No. According to the Rambam, so chuppah is not going into the yichud room. It's like the actual being under the canopy.
Chuppah is the canopy. The real question you want to ask is, what's the definition of Nisuin? So that's a machlokas. And the Rambam understands Nisuin, it would seem. I think this is the Sephardic Shita, is that it's Yichud. Yichud Aroy Lebiya. And Ashkenazim understand that Chuppah, no, is Nichnas Lebesa. And the Chuppah is like Besa.
Okay, so according to Ashkenazim, so Chuppah Snida works?
Yes. According to the Rambam, it's kind of a suffix. You know, look, it's not our topic. The Gemara in Ksubos has an Abaye de Loshita about chuppah. The Rambam says, therefore, it's a suffix. The Rush and the Chachmei Ashkenaz say, no, the Gemara suffix wasn't about whether chuppas nida is effective. The Shaila was for, I think, Tosefes Ksuba. When is she entitled to Tosefes Ksuba? Is it Chibas Chuppah, Chibas Bi, or something like that? Kasdan?
To clarify, the Rambam's exception of the Talmud Chacham was just for Dam Chimud, or was that for any Chuppah?
That's the way they sort of understand. He only says it by Dam Chimud. He says that a Talmud Chacham can be Kones. So the Beis Yosef says, yes, not Yichud, he has Nisuin.
But that's only Dam Chimud, that's not the Chuppah Nida.
Correct.
Does anybody understand that it's referring to both? Or everyone agrees that the Rambam's only talking about Dam Chimud.
Well, he only says it there. Now the question is, how do you interpret a Shita? Matt?
Joking a little bit, are we all some people greater than Rambam? Because you would for sure understand it.
Basically, it sound like it. Like if you're Yodea B'divrei Chachamim or something.
Well, that's why he'd understand the Rambam. But would we all be... L'may Naf Kamina. The Marik, I think, there's a famous Tshuva of the Marik, in which he says, there are no Talmidei Chachamim in this Marik. For many of the Din that I mentioned. You know, the... I understand. I understand. So, you know, it is, we do chuppas nida anyway, and avoid yichud. So, it's no nafkamina. Yeah. Okay. So the trumas hadeshen that you referred to, discusses the following question. Supposing the chassan and the kala haven't had bia the first night. So that's the case. Is there, and then she's pirsanida. The next day, let's say. Is there an isur yichud? So he wants to say, and the Rama quotes this ladin, even though hamach mitavala bracha, he wants to say, and since they were capable of restraining themselves already one night, we can assume that they can restrain themselves as necessary. The Shach, we'll see, talks about a practice that he didn't like, which apparently was a minhag that they didn't consummate the marriage the first few nights. So he thinks it's a terrible practice. He doesn't explain why. My assumption is the reason he thinks it's a terrible practice, he thinks it's likely to lead to Hotzar Sel Levatala, because if the chassan has to restrain himself, but he's in that proximity, that's going to be what that's the concern. He doesn't spell out what it is. If you look in the Be'er Hagola, he has even a more interesting practice. Turn it for a moment. I presume that the purpose of that minhag was to allow the chassan and the kal to get comfortable around one another. Bia the first night. That's what I imagine. I mean, you can imagine. I mean, just unfortunately, there have been some books that have been written from people who come from the far right reaches of the Orthodox world, and the descriptions can be pretty horrific, especially in certain parts of that world, where people don't even know the basics of sexual anatomy until shortly before their wedding. There are so one could imagine why they might want a few nights to have a chance to just get to know each other. So if you look in the Be'er Hagola, though, he quotes a different practice of which the Achronim were not so happy. The Be'er Hagola, which is on the Mari Makomos, is found between Ozayin and Osches. And in my edition, it's got a little hand. It might be in the middle of Ozayin, depending how you print your things. Ayin b'sefer shloh shekosa miroros alamina karash enagu lo dai. So, Shemoshivan es achasan eitzel akala. Ela af mechabek umenashe kosa. The oy le'inayim shekein roos. That seems a little strange. You'd think that the chas and the kala should embrace and kiss each other. It meant before the wedding. Lo mi boyim abesula ba lechal nidus hine avar adaraisa velisha benidasa lo sikrav da asar filu kreva. Ela filu adayin afilu hi adayin katana betokef avaso yitzro misgaber, which means either that he will have beer with her. V'chol shekein and bali de keri v'goyim lo tzar zel levatala shagadol avono minisa. The ayin od sham daf kufam and alef shehizir shalalishka v'chosan itz akala adlel be'ilav ayin sham. It seems, although he's not explicit, that this is the practice of bundling. It's still, I believe, done amongst the Amish.
Bundling
means that before the wedding, the chasan and the kala, at least when I read about the, probably the last time I taught this, I did a, you know, a little Googling, the Amish, they like have a bed, but there's like a board in between. You can't roll from one side to the other. And that doesn't mean that nothing ever happens, I'd imagine, but... Well, right. It's not, right. They've been miyachid. They were miyachid. The miyachid doesn't mean that they put them in a room for the night next to each other so they could talk. Miyachid meant that sometimes they had yichud, and because of that, the proper minhag was to write a ksuba beforehand, so in case they decided that they were going to skip with the formalities of the wedding, so that they at least wouldn't be without a ksuba. And there's no tainus besulim in Yehuda, because the kala can say, excuse me. Anyway, so this was a practice that apparently happened in Europe as well. As you can see, needless to say, that the Poiskim were not very happy with the practice. It's not a practice that is encouraged today either. Obviously, my assumption is they did it after the kala went to the mikveh. That's my assumption.
Bundling.
I don't.
Which is,
bundling is putting the board between?
Bundling is putting the chasan and the kala together. You know, without the intention of them actually consummating the marriage. But, you know, I don't know if everybody always used a board between the two. If it were just a board between the two and they stood there staring at the ceiling and having conversations about the larger meaning of life, so that would only have been an issue of yichud of pnuya. But it sounds like it was a little worse.
This is prior to Nisim?
And Kedushin, yes.
Wait, that's what the Rebbe was describing before?
Yes.
I thought he was talking about after Nisim.
Yeah, this is
the one
about.
Doesn't
there
be
nothing wrong
with it.
Yes.
No, maybe he's trying to encourage.
No, he's saying that if they're sitting together, then he might be bali nekeri. If they're sitting together, as long as it's not whatsoever.
Look, excuse me. Lo da'ish zosha moshivin es achasne tzalkala el af mechabek menashe gosa. The other ones, and then lo mi boy, and there's more considerations. I believe that this practice was before the Kiddushin and the Nisuin. What's that? After, I assume, after the Kala went to the Mikvah.
Why? Because he talks about how it's like, how there's a Nisur of being near, there's a Nisur Kreva to a Nidus. So,
he says, but if, ima besula ba lechal Nidus.
Oh, yeah.
If.
Why would they go to the Mikvah before?
The wedding? Because that's what you usually do.
Like
in a couple days before.
Okay, I assume you're.
Why would anyone think that's okay? Like, I don't understand. Like, why does he even have to say that that's no good? Why does he even have to say, yeah, that's not a good idea? Like,
why do you have to tell people that mixed dancing is not appropriate at weddings? And yet it seems to be making a comeback amongst the younger set for reasons that are beyond me. What's that? Everything is usher because it leads to mixed dancing, and everybody knows that. So of course mixed dancing is usher. It's usher anyway.
Why is mixed dancing usher?
Why is mixed dancing? Well, if you're dancing with your spouse and she's not a nida, then technically it might be okay.
I'm just saying.
I understand. But inevitably, it doesn't. It's not limited itself to that, number one. And dancing with other people's wives, or pnuyas who are nida certainly, is an isser, whether it's the Raisa or the Rabbanon of Losikravu. On top of which, you put couples who are in a position where they're not allowed to dance together in a very uncomfortable position. Because if they do dance together, they violate whatever Elisha ben Yidas Tomas Losikrav is, and if they don't, well, they might just feel embarrassed, you know, especially if you know they know how to dance. They don't. Some of us wouldn't know how to dance even if you whatever, so I'd probably step all over my wife's feet, so... Anyway, so the bottom line is, that's why mixed dancing is not appropriate. Okay? And not in most cases, it is usur.
But you wouldn't write that in the Shulchan. Like,
yes, you do sometimes have to tell people, don't do things that are usur, even though you know that they're usur, because they're doing them.
That goes back to yesterday. We talked about that.
Yes, yes, sometimes you have to get up and make pronouncements of things that are obviously usur. People are doing them anyway. So, anyway, but with regards to your beautifully sweet intention question, why would anybody think this is okay? So I'll play devil's advocate for a moment. I'm going to do that for a moment. The following is a very important question. Is there an isser of, I'll use the contemporary term, I hate it, negia, with a penuya who's gone to the mikveh? Bia, I presume, is asur because it's kadesha like the Rambam. Not like the Ramban or the Ravid or the Rush to Bepi Lagish. We apply Israel eject the Pilagra. So we hold like the Rambam, whether it's an Isra the Rice, it's the Rabbanon, Kadesha's Asur. Okay? Let's say she did.
Okay.
She put on a wedding band, she faked her way into the mikvah. This happens,
like
there are shilas about this. What's that?
She could just go to a river or something like
she
that.
She goes into the ocean, fine, whatever it is. She goes with a loose bathing suit, fine, she's gone to the mikvah. Is there an isser of negiah? Now, there is no losikruv there because she's not an erva.
Yeah.
There is an isser of yichud because yichud pnuya tavur beis dinu gazra
alav. It's obviously a dam timud issue.
We put a camera there, so there's no issue of yichud.
Fair. So what's the isser? There is the only makar that I'm aware of is there's a line in the Rambam in a long Perish HaMishnayis in Sanhedrin in the 7th parak, and you think, where is he pulling the source from? It's a very, one of those long expansions in the Rambam where he deals with Arayah, so that's why I'm familiar with it. In that passage, it sounds like from the Rambam that even if she were a Penuya, it would be somehow, it's not clear what the Makor is.
Please make dancing.
I know it is the subject of a lot of jokes. But nonetheless, it's still usur in most cases. So I need to re-emphasize that point. Oh boy, it's severe.
Wouldn't there be a problem there if Bia would still be usur, then you'd have issues of your hurrah with someone that...
Well, that's sort of what the Shla is getting at. That's what the Shla is getting at. Kathleen?
Just to further back up Yudi's points here, I'm a little bit confused as to why you think I get a little bit why you think it's before Kiddushin, but why do you think he can't be talking about after Nesu?
So there also seems to have been a practice, a separate practice, that they might wait a few nights. I would imagine,
that's
by
what I think he's referring to.
I would imagine that he is railing against both practices. In other words, I imagine that these two practices did not coexist. It was one or the other. The purpose of both practices was to allow the Chasam Lekala to get a little comfort. I know that in the United States of America, in contemporary Western culture, I'm told, despite my naivete, that people go to bars, okay, to meet people. But going to bars to meet people is not so you can go out on a second date. You go to bars to meet people, you know, and jokingly speaking in the colloquial language, you know, some people would say that you should bring your tefillin along. So I find that, frankly, hard to believe. To me, it is not inconceivable to me that people might violate the prohibition of losikravu, but that someone would walk into a bar, meet a stranger, and go home and sleep with them, to me, is kind of unfathomable. But I guess in any particular culture, you can break taboos and boundaries and all sorts of things, and that can somehow, in the strangest of ways, become normal. But once upon a time...
Isn't that natural? Why is that unfathomable?
Yeah, it is.
From like a Jewish perspective, unfathomable.
Yeah, so my assumption would be, however, despite what exists in American culture, which might be perfectly natural for people who are experienced, when you have a chassan and a kala in a culture, which was most of the world until recently, who were not sexually experienced before they got married, you know, meeting someone, having a chuppah and then going back to the room and having bia might have been a little bit of an awkward
Correct.
Proposition.
And
ad hayom hazeh, it remains such and probably remains such for most of you as well.
I Why can't that
even be someone you know, it is an awkward experience because it's something you're not used to doing.
Why can't that be what he's railing against then?
I think his initial language, I know the practice existed, and his initial language suggests that it's done in a context where chibuk and nishkuk itself is a problem. And what the marker for that's a separate issue.
If he meant that, why would he say ad leil ve'ila instead of
that's a much further down in the arichas. You have an assignment. Your assignment is to go to the library, unless the base medrash has it, and find a passage in the shla. I know you may need me to help you with this to find the location, because it's not...
The shla in Shenka.
I know. But the Shla is a great sefer. The Shla Kadosh was a revered rabbi. However, you have to find the passage. So I don't know. I'm not really. He doesn't at least mind cite it. However, your job is to unearth the entire passage and find out. But I'm pretty sure that that both practices aimed at the same thing, and I think he's referring to both practices. The Shach only refers to one, which is after the wedding, to refrain from having beer, because he believes it makes a halachic nafkamim for certain purposes. Moshe.
How could the Truma Siddur say that you can't, that once the second night comes, it's mutar, if the Gemara and Ksuba seem to imply that the problem is whether or not he had beer with her?
No.
Shalom Baal.
What's that?
Yeah.
Gemara and Ksuba says Shalom Baal.
So how can you say that the second night it's mutar just because they're used to each other?
Moshe, can you?
The Truma Siddur said that the second night, even if she's Persanita, they're allowed to have Yichud.
Right.
Because they're used to each other. So
it means that he's shown that he's capable with, you know, withstanding his Yetzer. Because normal people would have a Yetzer Hara, and the first night they would have Bia.
He's saying it goes against the Lashon of the Gemara, I think.
Can you let him speak for himself, please? Thank you.
Yeah, that is what I'm saying.
I want to hear from you, yeah.
Okay.
What is the Lashon of the Gemara? I understand, because that's the norm. That's the norm. That's why the Shach in Sif Katan Ches, I think it is, or Yud Aleph, I forget, I put it on the Maamar Mekomos, the Shach says, even though it's a horrible minhag to wait to do Bia, but if the minhag is such and people do that, then the fact that he doesn't have Bia is not proof that he's going to be able to withstand his Yetzer Hara after that.
Okay.
But yes, the Gemara was Diber Behoven, because they didn't have that embittered custom, you know, once upon a time. Jacob.
I don't know if you finished saying what the Rambam said in the Parish of Chayas, like what was the Isser of
He doesn't identify, he just assumes that physical contact, Chibuk and Nishuk, even with a Penuya, is Asr. He doesn't cite a source. In other words, it can't be Lo Sikravu. The Rambam holds Lo Sikravu by Arias is Deraisa. But it can't be Lo Sikravu by a Penuya, at least not Midaraisa, because she's not an Erva.
Does he not mention it in Mishnah Torah?
I don't know that he mentions it in Mishnah Torah. You know, it's the difference. You have to think about the difference in the genre. The Mishnah Torah is a carefully arranged digest of Bavli law, or Bavli and other law, which is why you see this all over the place. The Beis Yosef makes comments here and there about this. You can't ask Kashas why the Rambam will say, oh, maybe we didn't see Kufzai Dalazir. The Rambam doesn't quote a din unless it's explicitly discussed in the Gemara one way or the other. You can't ask Kashas on why he doesn't quote a different din that all the other Rishonim talk about. Why doesn't he quote that case? The answer is because the Gemara didn't discuss it. But the Perish HaMishnayis is of a different nature. At the Perish HaMishnayis, the Rambam is engaged in explanation rather than summation, you know, digestion, if I may use that term, or digesting, what the material found in the Gemara, and therefore you may get discussions about things that simply will not make it into the Mishnah Torah. Okay. Yossi.
The base Yosef's understanding of the Rambam, I was so confused. You're saying,
he thinks that the Rambam holds that even though chupas nida, you're not allowed to do lachatchila. Bidyeved, if you made the brachos, you don't repeat the brachos. For the Rambam, it seems to be the Gemara's maskan seems to be a safek. He thinks that the Rambam would permit a talmud chacham to have chupas dam chimur. And there's a woman who was tamek only because of dam chimur, otherwise was Torah, even though you're not allowed to be and you're not allowed to have yichud, the talmud chacham is allowed to do the chupa already. Because we're not afraid that he might circumvent the yichud things, even by accident, and that he'll then be nechshon. Yeah, a very narrow exception the Rambam is carving out. You know what the real flaw in this interpretation is? Can anyone identify what's the problem with this interpretation?
The Rambam doesn't make a difference between Dam Chimud and other Dam.
He only mentions this business about Talmud Chacham when it comes to Dam Chimud. So that is itself is reasonable.
Well, the Torah is quoting, he says, Leit Yachidi.
That's the Torah's interpretation of the Rambam.
Oh, that's not what the Rambam actually says.
So here's the cat. The question is, when the Rambam, whatever he says, what language? Let's see if they say safe quotes it. One second.
There's no citation of the Rambam inside.
No, I thought he does cite it at some point.
Yeah, he has it. I don't know where, but it's in the paragraphs of Zachain.
Yeah, I think he quotes it. Does he? Where is it?
I think I have it. Should I read it? So it makes sense.
Where does it begin? That's where he starts. I could have read the Adkan Lashono. What would it was closing? So what is the problem though with that interpretation of the Rambam? With the Beis Yosef's interpretation, it solves sort of the broader halachic problems. But see, this is the question of thinking: what's the source for the Rambam? Yes. And what does the Gemara there say by a Talmud Chacham?
Well, it has to give two different answers.
If the Rambam is assuming, one of the answers is they told them in advance. That's irrelevant here, because that would apply to everybody.
He says it sounds like it's really
Yichud. Yichud HaMiyachta. How does the Rambam get out of Nisuin out of that?
Because she's Yichud HaLo.
Yeah, the basis of quoted that. I think it was one of the Baal HaTosos who said that.
He says at the end. Yeah, exactly. With all due respect, creates yichud for a woman to a man? Not in the sense of yichud privacy, but yichud being miyuchad.
Kiddushin,
not nisuin. Right? It's a little bit strained. Okay. Yudi?
If the Rambam holds that there's a difference by Dam Chimud and Dam Nida for this case over here, then shouldn't he also hold that regularly, like by Dam Chimud, the halacha should be more makel, like you don't have to do a bedika or...
Say that again,
if he holds that the halacha are more makel, like a Talmud Chacham could be miyasa,
then the Rambam should hold...
That you don't have to do maybe bedika during...
Efshar? I mean, everybody knows that it's a Chumrat Rabbanon. That's not a... It's very stabber, but... Okay. Fine. Last line in the Torah, which the Beis Yosef Tain is really shouldn't be here. Not that he's not here, but he doesn't know why the Torah started. Kosav Harambam. Harambam. I'm sorry, I read the... That was the nod to Yudi. Rambam. It's as far to pronounce it. Right. Apparently, Ashkenazim, don't have a problem distinguishing. It's Rambam and Ramban. Okay.
Chazar Rambam Nida Kevan She'ena Re'uya Leviya In Chupasa Chupa Ad Shetitaher V'lo Nehira
L'Adoni Avi Yerushal. That was the Machlokas. How to read the Gemara Zibayin Subos when they asked about Chupas Nida and left it as a Teku. Is the issue whether or not Chupas Nida is valid, or is the issue whether or not she is Gilkona the rights to Tosefes Ksuba? And the Chachmei Ashkenaz say the latter, but of course you can have Chuppas Nida, and the Rambam understands that it's a suffix whether the Chuppah works at all.
Why don't Sephardim have Yichud rooms, like if it's all about Roi Leviya?
So for starters,
hair covering, no?
The Chacham Avadya says that the yichud after the wedding. I don't know if they do a formal yichud after the wedding, but many years ago, I did a wedding, and I had a panic afterwards because I wasn't sure, and there were edim for the yichud. I wasn't sure if we had done this or that. The other thing, something with the edim, I asked for Shechter, and he told me a story about some Talmud, I don't remember who it was, I should ask him what, some Talmud Chacham, very fine Talmud Chacham, younger Talmud Chacham, would come over from Europe, and he was at a wedding that the Rav was performing, and the Rav announced right after the chuppah, so-and-so are the Eidei Yichud. So he apparently went up to the Rav, if I remember the story correctly, I should verify for Shechter, but he went up to the Rav and he said, why do you have Eidim, why do you need Eidim for Yichud? So the Rav said to him, it says in Shulchan Aruch. So he said to the Rav, it doesn't say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch that you need Eidim for Yichud. So the next day, the Talmud Chacham got a call from the Rav. The Rav had been up all night reading through Shulchan Aruch, and he couldn't find anything in the Yichud. He said, apparently it's not there. But you don't really need Medina Eidim for the Yichud. Kiddushin requires Eidus Lekiyam Adavar, but Nisuin is a Davar Shevamela. You don't need Eidim for it to make it actually work. But the truth is, if the Chas and the Kala go to their room, then...
Suin for Sepharim is after the wedding?
Yeah.
It's technical Nisuin?
Yeah. Chacham Avadya, I believe, writes in a tshuva that that's why Sfardim hold that they, you don't have to cover the hair till after the wedding, because the covering of hair is based upon nisuin. It has to be mibaladei sheikh, that she said be with her husband already, since they don't do nisuin until after, they don't have yichud till after, so she's not eligible for sota drinking. She's eligible for misa, but not eligible for sota drinking. And therefore, Faras Rosh Ha'isha is a source, therefore they don't cover their hair. Ashkenazim, also, you don't have to cover it during the wedding, but we assume probably, since we know that they didn't, we assume, with almost virtual certitude, they didn't have bia either, so it doesn't matter if you had yichud, you need actually to have a bia before, in order to be eligible for sota.
So why do Ashkenazim do the yichud room if it's all about the
We're being machmir for both. There are, actually, they say there's a third sheet, which I don't think it's mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch. I find it very difficult, but I think the Rav and Rav Aaron were very machmir about this. It was the Badekin. I understand that. Okay. I don't have Aiden for the Badekin. What?
For the people who think you need that, like, about this Bedekin thing, it's because it's a Nisuin, right?
Yes.
So how do you have Nisuin for Kedushin?
That's a whole discussion. There's a Ramban in the first parak of Kedushin who talks about this issue in Daf. I think Daf Yud or Yud Beis. It's a whole discussion about this. Bedekin is not the Nisuin. We know. There's Tzamachlukas Chachmesh, Ashkenaz Chachmesh, Sfard, whether it's the Chuppah, and when it's Knesset Lebeisa, or whether it's Yichud. The way lots of Klal Yisrael got married for hundreds of years, nobody had Eidei Badekin. You know, technically you shouldn't require the Eidei for it anyway. Whatever. And I do a Badekin, I makbid to make sure I get my way in there, not to service an aid, but just to make sure that everybody knows what they have to do. Under the chuppah, I try to be careful, since it's mostly krov under the chuppah, to make sure that somebody else up there, along with myself, witnesses the Mesiras HaKsuba, which is important in certain circumstances. But that could, okay, some people do it. I've seen it. Seen other Talmidim, Rav Aaron, also makbid on it. I'm not makbid on it. If I marry you, and I'm, if I'm in your Masada Kedushin, and you're a lady, Sam, aren't you? Long story. Nothing to do with Sam. So you don't need. There are no options for a kibud for the badekin. In fact, I think once I went to a wedding where the rabbi was being masader was makbid. He wanted a waiting for me. Wedding was, I think, in Philadelphia. A waiting because he wanted the eid day kiddushin to also be the eid day badekin. I was supposed to be an eid kiddushin.
That was regarding chomer, I think.
Yes. Which I don't understand either, but. I don't know why you ate them in the Badekin in the first place. So, but anyway, that was, yes, I think that's correct. Do you know why?
Or you just... I remember when we did usually, I remember he explained like that on other
He said that they had to be bedekin again on his wedding, though, because the they weren't any eating sogar and made them do it again.
Okay. Yitzi?
For Rambam, is Anida Isha Haruya Le?
For what purposes? Yes, because there it's determined whether it's somebody you can marry. Not this very second, but it means whether you're suitable for Kiddushin, L'chatchila, and really L'chatchila, you can do Kiddushin on Anida. I think some people like to avoid it, but, I mean, for us it's irrelevant, we do it at the same time, so our status is our status. But no, that's called Ru'uyala. In the same way, Kiddushin or Tosin by Anida, for sure, the Chuleyama by Anida.
No, I assumed, but I wasn't sure over here, just because, I don't know, nobody
knows that. Okay, fine. All right, let's turn our attention to the Shulchan Aruch. Thank you, Mr. Weinreich. Mati. Nah, I bought you. Jacob. Lafuke Mishita Sarabia. Like the Rush against the Rashba. Right, the Mechaber only requires l'chatchila one medika b'toch shiva. Now, normally, as I mentioned yesterday, you l'chatchila really, alpi din, require one medika each day, 7 days. That's clear from the Mishnah. There's a chumra of the smag that the Torah quotes to do medikas twice a day. But really, pikar din, it's once a day. But here, the Beis Yosef, here the Shulchan Aruch, only requires one bedika b'toch shiva.
Could be whenever, at any point.
It seems it could be at any point, yes. There is a big discussion about this, but the Aruch HaShulchan's bottom line is that in a situation of a woman who didn't do all her bedikos, she need the Eved Shita of most, which in certain cases you might rely upon l'chatchila, but not normally, obviously, is Hefsek Tara plus one bedika at some point during the Shiva Nikim.
You're saying even for a real Shiva Nikim?
For a real Shiva Nikim. That's not l'chatchila by any means, but that means b'di'evet, b'di'evet. Not everybody thinks that's the b'di'evet. That's the Aruch Shulchan's bottom line.
People think that's l'chatchila?
What?
People think that's l'chatchila.
No.
Not everyone thinks that's b'di'evet, but that's the Aruch.
No, some think that that is even insufficient b'di'evet. You'll see the Shach makes a reference, I think, in the Siman, thinking that you need Hesek Tara, first day, seventh day. And that certainly I don't think is a standardly accepted position for the b'di'evet, the bottom line b'di'evet. But we'll see when we get to Siman Kuf Tzadi Vav. But here the Beis Yosef seems to assume one b'dika is sufficient l'chatchila. And the Ramah says... Right, you know, notice how we try to seamlessly merge it with the Mechaber, but it doesn't really work. Tzriach b'dika toch shiva, kol yom l'chatchila. Okay. The Mechaber was passing like the Rush. Like the Rashba. Like the Rashba. And the Rashba said you need an either. Take that back. You're passing like, let's say, the Ramban. But Mihu, the Ramah continues.
You could be fooled into thinking that the Ramah is explaining the Shulchan Aruch.
Yeah, but I don't think so. I don't think that's...
It's only based on the Beis Yosef, we know that. But if you were just reading the Shulchan Aruch, you'd think that the Ramah there is explaining what
you
could,
yes. You could, yes. Okay. Whoa, hold on. The Shach writes in Sifkat and Alf, the minhag today is to engage in Hefsek Tara, which may be true, but the truth is, as I mentioned before, it's rare that we deal with Dam Chimud anyway. She probably had a real bleeding subsequent to the Dam Chimud, in which case she requires a real Hefsek Tara, really Alpidin. Alpidin of Chumras Benos Yisrael. Right? In other words, once she's a Zava Gedola, a Zava Gedola, Alpi Din Torah, a real Zava Gedola, requires Hefsek Tara. Yes? She's not counting... Okay.
Yeah. No.
Normally, until... Yeah.
So what ends up happening is she's about to get her, she had something like she then she figures out
when the wedding is approaching, when the wedding is approaching, she, I mean, again, depends on when she gets her period, but she will presumably, I mean, she doesn't have to when she gets her period, but she better remember before the wedding, eight days in advance, you know, to do a hefsektara and start counting. And you have to educate kalas very well about that. I think I mentioned the nightmare stories of this, of the kala who did a hefsektara and then didn't do any bedikos, and then already was the eighth day. And getting hysterical calls as to what do you do, because there were 7 days to the wedding. Not as bad. That was the worst I dealt with. I've heard of gotten more shilas come my way, but I punted them. I wasn't in the Saudi Kiddushin anyway.
What were the worst ones?
I think the worst one was she just hadn't done a hefsektara. And it was like 3 days before the wedding.
So what was the shock she had? Like a week ago? What did the posek say?
I'm not going to repeat the psach because I won't paskin that way. Not because it's wrong, but because I'm not sufficiently. I wasn't mishamish, you know, certain people, but I called Rabbi Simon. That's what I do in the circumstances because Rabbi Simon knows a lot.
What's the worst case scenario though?
Well, it means, at least in my mind, you're 3 days before the wedding, she can start counting Shiva Nikiyam, but you'll be waiting until 4 nights after the wedding.
Yeah, but you wouldn't push, you don't have to push the wedding off.
No, you don't have to push the wedding off. But that's a pretty nightmare scenario.
Yeah,
I mean, I've heard of worse. I've heard of worse one situation of a, you know, someone who brought me a shayla, but it wasn't a halachic shayla, it was just a pastoral shayla of this couple where not clear they should have been getting married, and then it was going to be a chuppas nida, and they were going to have to wait like 7 days and be living, you know, and they didn't have, it's not like they had the money to be renting separate apartments or whatever else, and they didn't have from family. It was a pretty bad situation.
But it happens. We have, like, I'm sure in 1,000 ways it happened, there are women who have their period the day before unexpectedly or something like that.
So it is rarer, much, much rarer today because people, even the frumest of the frum, use hormonal hormones to regulate the cycle before the wedding. So it is pretty rare. It's standardly taught now, right? And there are doctors you can send you to who know exactly what you're supposed to be doing for this particular purpose, because right? So in every wedding I have been misader, and I can probably 15 to 20 weddings, I never once had a filled with a chuppas nida.
Yeah, do you know how long? Like, is this a relatively recent thing that's been accepted even in the firmer world?
I suspect for a few decades, and I guess from the firmer world also. Again, it's just before the wedding, it's not an issue. It's not birth control. It's just hormones, and it's just that if you keep taking those, then they function as birth control. In fact, I'm not mistaken. If you read that article at the beginning of the year, the initial use of what became the birth control pill wasn't about pregnancy. It was dealing with women who had all sorts of hormonal issues and extreme premenstrual syndrome and things like that. It had nothing to do with birth control. And then somebody realized, oh, that's a great idea. It actually works for birth control. So, yes. Yes.
The Shulchan Aruch is paskening like who? Is paskening like the
Ramban? I need paskening like the Ramban.
Like the Ramban. Is that the...
Eina tricha hefsek tara?
And
the rush in terms of the requiring a bedika, but only the Ramban's version of that, which is really, I think he's a paskin one bedika. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, the Ramban's version, which is just
I think it's one bedika is sufficient.
Yeah, yeah. Don't they talk about Chilatan of the Sulfan, when they talk about that one bedika?
Anywhere. That's the point. It's anywhere. By the way, whoever said that the Ramah you could read is Kinim Chaber, you can't. You don't say Umi Utsricha Bedika Toch Shiva. You would say Utsricha Bedika Kol Shiva. Right. The Ramah is playing with it. And if you're not being careful, you can fall into the trap. But that's not what the Mechaber said.
No, I'm sorry. I know it's not what the Mechaber is saying, but you could think that's...
You could read it together if you didn't know better. But we know better. What?
Doesn't he sometimes put his words in the middle of the Mechaber? I know he
didn't. Well, yes,
it,
but here you can't because you use the word toch. So you say and said toch shiva kol yom lechatchila. Okay, Yudi.
So for dal chimud, you don't need a hafsetara, but
no hafsetara
anyway.
But the shach says the shach says the minhag is to do it. For us, it's mostly relevant anyway. We have to do it anyway for real dam nida. Yeah. Okay. The taz that we mentioned, discussed the race. So I'm not going to repeat the taz about. about Dam Chimu not applying when they are in bed together already, like Boaz and Rus and Yehuda and Tamar. Okay. Mati? Because Dam Chimud, you know, whatever you want to say Dam Chimud is when they get engaged, you want to say, let's say, when they send out the wedding invitations, you know, 6 weeks before, something like that, she's likely to become a Nida in between anyway, in which case she requires real Hesek Tara and real Shiva Nikim.
You don't think it's like 7 days before?
I hope you're not sending out the wedding invitation 7 days
no,
before. No,
I mean, like,
no, because Chiram Usari Basinta, you take the Rosh Bashir, figure out when that is. I don't know if engagement quite does it. You know, it depends. If it's a 3-month engagement, maybe yes. If it's a 12-month engagement, no. Right? So you have to figure out when you have a long engagement, what would be the point, you know, of which you would say Yehoshish Vedam Chimur. I imagine something like the wedding invitations when people start sending them back. But that's usually, they're usually some people who are kind enough to be OCD with their invitation and they send it back as soon as they get it. I'm unfortunately not one of those people. That's annoying, but to people. But that's usually enough weeks before that she's going to get her period in between anyway. Okay. Fine. Continue in the Mechaber. Okay, that was the Rashba Shita, but now the Ramal comes and really injects the Rash in. V'yesh lismoch. And now the reason for that, I believe, would be why wouldn't she be tibayel until Motzei Shabbos? Well, when did they normally get married?
Friday.
The reason they got married Friday afternoon was to save money on the meal, to have a Shabbos meal and a wedding meal together. That's a remarkable mussar that nobody will listen to about, not that people should get married on Fridays, but maybe people should think about toning down weddings. Now you imagine how poor they were, that they basically, to save a meal, people were not spending $60,000 or $80,000 or $100,000 on a wedding. Let's put it that way. There were no flowers. There were probably no musicians in that case. They had a joint meal. They wished the chasen the kal mazel tov. They made brachos. They probably danced some. And that was a wedding. Give the bride and the groom the money to elope. Okay, make a small wedding. I know people have done that. Somehow their children have never taken up an offer, but it's usually the father who makes the offer, not the mother. The mother probably wouldn't approve. Okay. So anyway. So the Ramah says, the reason why she wasn't nivelas until Motzei Shabbos is because some were machmir, apparently, maybe, not to be bol be vishan of a Shabbos, even though midina tzmoter. You know, chabura and all. Yes. So the Ramah said the minhag came to take them to the mikvah Wednesday night, and therefore the Ramah finished reading here. V'im lo tibol v'otzei Shabbos. I'm sorry. In avalein harchik. Okay, and Talsheva and the Chachasan. Yishal. Okay, that is not, the Shach says that's not the practice anymore. I think this goes in the same category, a little bit of the, woman who goes to the mikveh doesn't have to say, honey, I went to the mikveh, but when she does things that are mochiach, that she went to the mikveh, that's sufficient. So it's understood here that if the kala were a nida, she or somebody would have said something to the chasa. He says, the shushpinim, usually let him know. Okay, what? Which is odd, shushpinim are usually the chasan's friends. She has friends, and he has friends. Why the shushpinim would be the ones to know, I have not a clue, but that's what maybe he meant the, again, even the kala's friends. Yes, but not in the day of this. Not in the days of the Shach.
That already passed. Okay.
I didn't think. I assume that it stopped by that time. I could be wrong. Right.
Well, I mean, are there
besides, there are shushpinim for him. They each one has the chevra.
Yeah.
I assume that. So I don't know which ones these are, but either way, I assume they've changed in role. I'm sure they must be, but I don't. That's more an Ebenezer Indian rather than a Yeridae Indian. Right, Tizman Azeh, there's no Chashash Isser. Because there's no time between Kedushin and Nisilin.
Okay.
So it's only a Mekach Tavos question.
Right.
Okay. Fine. Moving on along. Sif Gimel.
In Dabla Nisuin Nachmas is a Siva. Aho Pishiyasha Shivanakim, Tzircha Lachzor, Belishab Shivanakim, Belizbo. That's edited.
Well, that's understood. Not, all right. So if they break up the shidduch, then you have to sit shiv and akim again once they make peace and agree to marry. And the Rama adds, afalpi doesn't help. It's very funny because when you read the description, it's always, well, maybe she wasn't careful. It's like, and what if she was? In other words, it's not maybe there was a tipa stam kachad and got covered up like the original Shimon HaKim. It's like after the original Shimon HaKim, dam chimud, it sounds almost like if you could prove that there was no dam, that would be okay. But it's really, we're not assuming you can prove there's no dam, therefore we never let you do that.
So if you move the wedding back, like, then you're in trouble.
Yes and no. So there are two kinds of issues that are discussed amongst the Achronim here. I don't want to dwell on it at length because neither is particularly common, although they can happen. One is if you move the chuppah earlier. The Taz talks about that in the last part of the Siman, at the end of Sif Katan Chah. And what happens if you push the wedding off the other way? The Shach here quotes the tshuva of the, I thought he quotes the Masis Binyamin. The Taz argues on it, but the Shach dismisses it. But who want to say, he quotes first the Bach, who says that it's only if they would docha the nisuin stam, which meant maybe it's not going to happen, she's not really sure. But if at that time they said, let's wait four more days, then she doesn't require new shivanikim.
But you could just count. If you push the wedding off 3 days, can you just, and you've, it's Monday, and the wedding was supposed to be today, and I said, oh, we'll have it on Friday. Your previous days that would be part of the Shivan Akim for Friday can still count, right? You can double.
No. Because you're afraid that maybe she was Chomedes and Roa.
Oh, at that moment where you decide to push it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so when you decide to put it back on.
Even if you say, it's Monday now, we're going to do it on Friday.
So that's what the Bach says, that that's not a problem. In that case, you don't need new Shivan Akim.
Even not the Bach might, but anyone who disagrees with the Bach would say that.
Some might say that, no, once you push it off. But the real issue will be, what if they don't, what he says is that if you decide to push off the wedding and it's not clear they're going to get married.
And then you decide we'll do it Friday.
Yeah, whatever it is, then you require a new, new Shivan Akim of Dam Chimud. So, no, again, those are not typical scenarios, Bizman Hazeb, because the way we arrange for weddings, at least in America, you reserve the catering hall. It's not an option to push off the wedding or to bring up the wedding. Not always is it impossible, but it's a rarity. It's a rarity. But if you encounter that, you have to think about these issues. So you should at least know that there's such a thing as Dam Chimud and keep it in your back pocket. Kasdan.
Is there a minimum shear that you have to be assuming the wedding's off before we deciding to postpone it? And what you were just saying to Dean, meaning if you say, we need to do the wedding today,
there
and
is
then
no,
5 seconds later you say, let's push it off till 3 days later, at that point...
No.
Was that considered a...
No. Not push, it's not about pushing off the wedding. It's about breaking off the wedding. Dacha Nisuin isn't, this is very, I think it should be clear, Dacha Nisuin isn't, oh, it's snowing, the roof's about to cave in, so we're going to wait till tomorrow to do the ceremony. No, that's not an issue. The issue is, if she thinks that the wedding is off, then when the wedding comes back on, that emotional surge comes back.
So do you assume that there's anything that could cause her thinking it's off other than some type of...
Fight?
Fight.
Not usually. That's what they talk about, what if the chassan doesn't get there? Right, so if she thinks that she's being stood up, so that's one thing. But the Chronim Tzitah suggests the opposite, that she thinks probably he's just honest and he's coming here. But certainly, if he gets stuck in Israel and they won't let him out of the country, and he calls ahead and tells her, you know, we're stuck, so you know the wedding's on Friday, and now is Wednesday, I may not be home in time, we may have to push things off. That's not what they're talking about. Okay, anyways, I don't feel the need to dwell at great length on these tshuvos. They're important, but only if they would come up in our context. So you have to be aware, if in some odd circumstance the wedding gets pulled up or pushed back, pulled up doesn't matter either way. Pulled up might be, that creates a certain kind of anticipation you didn't expect, right? So all of a sudden, you're expecting to have to wait 3 days, and all of a sudden, oh, one day let's do it, right? So that might be, you have to look carefully, at the last taz on that. But for our purposes now, let's not, because that's not typical, because Romer is not available the day before. So, continue, Jacob. And then so that's the Trumas Hadashin. By Medina it's Mutter. And I'll just tell you that if you're dealing with the situation, I'll tell you where this is most likely to come up. It's an interesting kind of question, but I think that you have to think about the Trumas Hadashin in that context. In a situation where the chasan and the kala are not capable of consummating the marriage. It happens. It happens because of various kinds of physical conditions. It could happen to the chasan too, but that's a different kind of issue. And if they're incapable of consummating the marriage, so that raises a very interesting question. They're not capable of having bia. So if you follow the logic of the Truma Sadeshin, although it's not identical, mistaber, until the medical issue has been resolved, it shouldn't be a problem. However, it could be a problem once the medical issue is resolved and then she is a nida. So you have to sort of think carefully about this particular question. Okay. Next, the ain. Okay, that was that Hava Amina in Tosfos, which is rejected. Yesh Omrim. Okay. That's the Ravid Shita, and then I never really understood this for the Aminag. The whole thing is, they'll understand, what does it mean? You take a katam with the chasan, does that mean the chasan and the kala in the same room? Or not? Because they're in separate rooms, they still need, if they're not, there's no yichud, the chasan is a katan and the kala is a ktana. Number one. Number two, it sounds like the men is to take both, but bayom, maybe that's what it means, you only need katan or katana. So again, I assume that means when there's yichud, so I assume at night it's the same issue. Either way, with a katan or a ktana, as the Shach points out, in the name of the Bach, in order to have a katan or a katana there, especially during the day, if you only have one, is you need a katan or a katana who are yodim tambia in mosun atzma labia. And as normally, let's say a man is not allowed to have yichud with two women, unless one of those two women is a young girl who is old enough to know what they're doing, but young enough to not be the least bit interested herself. So that's what the Shach mentions here, that you need to have that situation to avoid a yichud problem. That's really din hilchos yichud. Okay, fine. And finally, okay, Machzir Gushaso has to be Yosheves Shiva Nikim. Why would he have to be told that? Because you'd think, the Dam Chimud, been there, done that. Is there any din that you can think of that Machzir Gushaso doesn't have the din of Nisuin for? Chosrei me'erche ha-melchama. Ki yikach ish isha chadasha. It has to be chadash alo. He can marry an almana, that's fine. He can marry an almana, that's fine. But if he's machzir grushasa, the din of chosrei me'echer mechama does not apply. So here the assumption is, which is interesting, that means that there's no element of simcha. This just means there's an element of chimur. Okay. So the Taz has an interesting comment, though. The Taz says that if they had Tasif Katan Chas writes, Nira dem avar vekanas tochzman, dein tzarech shmira. Kevin the kvar ba'olah, kishoy se ishtu b'pam arishon, lo kathak if yitzri achu kokach, ein tzarech shmira, kein nirali. Taz says that if they didn't do the chuppah, there's no esr yichud. They've been married before. They've had bia before. They know what it's like not to have bia when she's anida. Right? It's not such a big deal. That's what the Taz says.
That would maybe apply to an Alman marrying an Almana, or because it's still new for them.
It's new for them. It's new for them. Rabbi Akiva Eiger quotes, I think, the Teferes Lamoshe, who wanted to argue that the Taz would say it's true even if she was Pirsan Nida Mamish, not just Am Chimud. And he thinks that you can't be medayik that from the Taz. But the truth is, the Svara makes perfect sense. You know, the only reason to distinguish is to say that the stakes are higher by one. But the truth is, if the Svara of the Taz is correct by Dam Chimud, it should be correct by regular Dam Nida as well. So, or Kivager doesn't necessarily argue on that point. He just says that he doesn't think that you can be medayik that from the Taz. What's that?
Obviously the Rambam. Would disagree with that.
Why?
Because it's only Yichud with a.
Okay. All right. I make two requests for tomorrow. Number one.